You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Monday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Here at Civic Media, we pride ourselves on fact-based, unbiased journalism. We want to get the stories to you, the ones that affect you and your community the most. And we do that through partnerships with various news sources as well, including the Racine County Eye. And WRJN's Don Rosen sat down with their owner and operator and the lady, I guess, who also sweeps out the closets, Denise Lockwood, to talk about a new facility, a big event, and that super hot topic, data centers.
Here's one of our news partners, Racine County Eye, Denise Lockwood, owner, founder of Racine County Eye. You've got some big news, first of all, about the physical place of Racine County Eye. You just moved into new digs. Let's talk about those first.
Well, we're actually moving in. I've got the keys now, and we're moving in. We'll be formally all in on October 1st. So we're moving into the Bell City Square complex, which is the old Horlick Malted Milk Factory. My building is 1926 Albert Street, it's building right next to the Inclusive Bean, just to the right of it, as you're looking at the front of the building. And it's about 1,900 square feet. And what we're doing is we've got two spaces. One is going to be our newsroom. The other is going to be called the Thought Collective. And we're going to start hosting a lot of events around thought leadership.
Thoughts.
Thoughts. Uh-oh. Scary, right?
Well, it's not scary.
Well,
I think they're in short supply.
I think so, too. So one of the things that I was really thinking a lot about how to help the community, and it was really about connection, not only to the highest and best thinking, but around specific topics that affect us every single day, but also getting people in the room together that may not always get along. So we'll see if Ma and Pa can get along. We'll see. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Before we forget, I want to make sure. Talk about your family farm now. It's out. You're done. You're not in the farm business anymore, right?
No. Mom and Dad sold the farm a year ago, Okay. Actually, just this past week. But, they've both been in the hospital. They moved to Florida, and I was there last week. Thought I'd have a really great week of peace and calm before the storm of moving all my stuff. And I ended up getting COVID. So there is that. But both my mom and dad, I told them before I left, I said, go get tested. And they ended up testing negative, but they were both in the hospital. My dad's still in the hospital.
You know, and prayers for your dad. But, you know, I found out when the big COVID thing happened 5 years ago, you were afraid to get COVID because you said, oh, COVID, I'm going to die if I get COVID. Now you get COVID, it's like getting a bad cold for a couple of days, and that's about it. Talking about COVID and being well, you are sponsoring the Wellness Expo coming up on September 30th at the Fountain Hills Banquet Hall. It's called Aging Well, the Aging Well Expo. And I'm in that age group now, believe it or not.
Me too, actually. I'm 55, so I'm getting to that point where I need to pay a lot more attention to how I'm aging so that I can make sure that I'm a consistent thorn in my parents' side.
You know you're getting old when you sneeze and your back goes out.
Yes, right.
Or you sneeze and go, ow!
Yeah, so Aging Well is an expo for people, and it's free, by the way. And really, it's meant to help people, you know, meet themselves where they are and also improve, you know, what other things that they may have going on in their life, from making sure that you get your hearing tested so we can hear each other very well, to like ADARC, the Aging Disability and Resource Center is going to be there. They have some fabulous support services and also just, you know, making sure that our aging does go well, right? We also are going to have everything from like window companies to leaf guard and things along that line. So So we want to make sure that we're aging not only well, but in the place that we want to be, right? So we want to make sure our homes are free from hazards that cause us any problems, like falling and things along that line. It's super important, super important.
And what are some of the stories we're keeping an eye on? Because there's always something changing around here. And you said Microsoft is one of the top stories now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Microsoft, you know how they have the property out in Mount Pleasant, and they're actually they're shifting the expansion of that property. Now they're looking at a second data center in Caledonia. It's a property that is right across the street from the We Energies plant on Highway 32. And what's really interesting about this particular property is We Energies owns the property. And the reason why they own that property is primarily because a lot of the people that used to live around We Energies, their land was contaminated. They had molybdenum in their water. There was a lot of issues, and I covered that for quite some time. And now there's about 250 acres of property that used to be owned by residents of Caledonia, now owned by We Energies. Now they are looking to sell that property on contingency of approvals for the data center. And the timeline is very preliminary at this point, and I want to make that very clear. There was an open house last night. There was also a public hearing on Tuesday night, and there's a lot of pushback around this.
You want to find out more from The Eye? Go to RacineCountyEye.com to read their stories, to support their journalism, because local community journalism is what keeps us informed on the things that impact us the most. If you want to hear that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows, and you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. A great way to start your week is with great reporting, and who better to talk to about great reporting than the award-winning journalist Dan Schaefer. He is the political editor of Civic Media, as well as the founder of the Recombobulation Area. And he stops by here usually on Mondays to talk about something uniquely southeastern Wisconsin, and today we're continuing a conversation we had last week about construction, and this week we kick it off with a clarification on how one major construction project is going to be made easier by another major construction project. I don't get it, but Dan explains it. So just so I have this straight, they are going to start construction on National Avenue to help the construction on the ballpark interchange.
Yes. So the Department of Transportation began work on National Avenue, this mitigation project, this summer in an effort to improve local roadways prior to the construction that is coming later this year. So one of the things that is going to happen as part of the 94 East-West project is there. Some of the ramps on Holly Road, that's so one of the interchanges, mm-hmm. There will no longer be eastbound ramps coming from Holly Road. So this is helping mitigate that traffic and making it safer for people to travel through, you know, what is currently called Brewers Boulevard or Miller Parkway.
Yeah.
And so making those connections better, that is also very close to the Veterans Medical Center right there, and making sure some of the transit stops are updated and making sure people can safely navigate through the construction that is set to really ramp up. Ramp, get it? Greg. There's a ramp. It's a highway ramp.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just really congratulate you on that one. That was a that was a mind-bending pun in a time when I wasn't expecting one. And really, when it comes down to it, I want to give you something special. Here we go. There you go.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah. And I understand if you may or may not know this just because, but we're talking infrastructure. So I guess my thought would be after National is done, which is a huge project, and after the ballpark project would be done, so somewhere in the early 2030s, sheesh, would it be done for a while as far as major construction, not the minor things, not the cones up for a couple of days? I'm talking, get ready, folks. This is years of waiting and years of planning. Are there any other huge projects coming down the pike that we should be aware of? And just know, hey, 2032 is here. It's over, everybody.
Yeah.
Wait until next year.
I think that, you know, for people who, for activists who have been concerned about highway expansion and the costs involved with that and the, you know, displacement involved with that and the myriad of issues that could come with, you know, this multi-billion dollar project that is reconfiguring and rebuilding many of these highways. I think there is concern that, you know, this is just kind of like an extension of like, okay, when does this stop? When does the, you know, highway expansion, when do these new interchanges stop? And I think that is one of the concerns from a lot of people. And there is also one connected project that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has not really provided an update on in quite some time, which is rebuilding the Stadium Freeway. So Highway 175 north of the freeway there, there has been conversations about converting that to a boulevard. Those conversations, they said it was going to be a 18-month to 2-year study. Well, it's been like 3.5 years since that was discussed. So we really don't know the future of that particular project as it connects to those as well. Should those be connected projects and be happening at the same time? Maybe. You can make that argument. I have. But I do think, you know, that is something to consider as something else on the potential drawing board in the years to come as well.
I feel like if you're right there, And you mentioned something as well that I feel is a whole other conversation for another time, and maybe bringing in a as you said, activist, a advocate. You know, this is going to be a very big inconvenience for people who have homes very close to this, and what is going to happen to them? And in a world of reconstruction, renovation, gentrification in Milwaukee, the conversation of affordable housing is going to be brought up because we're seeing more and more neighborhoods being turned into areas where folks who have spent decades there can no longer afford to live. But that's for another conversation. I guess I do have one more thing. And I understand if this is a smart aleck question, but is there a piece of construction in Wisconsin that officials look at and go, we got it right the first time. Let's keep it this way.
Not to my knowledge.
That's award-winning journalist Dan Schaefer not having the answer. That's right, folks. I said it. Okay. And I think I'm hoping that, you know, after it's all said and done, because we've talked about 794, we've talked about the very confusing on-off ways by the lakefront, by Summerfest, eventually they just have to be done. Like, they can't look at it and say, oh, we could do this better, and that requires 9 years, $4 billion, and a lot of inconvenience. It's like, let's try to get it right the first time. That's what I'm trying to say here, folks. Get it right the first time.
Get it right the first time.
And we'll come back to this design in 50 years. All right, Dan, I thank you so much for your time. I always appreciate you giving us the important stories that we might not be able to get to all the time, but these are the things, especially for folks in southeastern Wisconsin, to keep our eyes on, especially if you travel to and from Milwaukee on a regular basis. Right now, I'm just really happy that I live in Kenosha.
Yeah, don't be surprised to see a few more orange barrels around Milwaukee in the not-too-distant future because of this project. It's going to be a lot.
Well, Dan,
be ready. It's good to be prepared. It's good to know about this beforehand so you're not surprised by it, though, right?
Absolutely, and that's why you're here, to prepare us.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm always very appreciative to Dan for stopping by and sharing time with me, sharing his expertise on what we should be paying attention to in southeastern Wisconsin. And another way you can stay informed is by getting the Civic Media newsletter. It's called Civic Media Today, and you can sign up right now for free. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up, as I said, absolutely free and delivered to you every day. So there you go. There's your mission. Sign up for the newsletter. And while you're at Substack, sign up for the recombobulation area too. It's award-winning. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news at 8:06, Pat welcomes John and Gordy from WMDX to talk about their show and what's going on in Madison. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Last Friday, I played for you a selection from the conversation that Earl Ingram had with Dr. Howard Fuller. He's an emeritus professor at Marquette University and the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. And they were talking about something that seems very basic, but is so important in their public school education that we have to address it, and that's reading and writing. Earl doesn't hold back on his concerns, and Dr. Fuller does not hold back on his solutions.
In the city of Milwaukee and in urban centers, they actually live out of garbage bags, Dr. Fuller. They're at one place today, and then tomorrow when they get out of school, they go back to wherever the place is that they were, and they've got to move. They're transient. Their families are transient. And all those things have an impact on children, especially in their development. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, I mean, everything that you said is true. Though I do want to say a couple things about our school. First of all, we're not a high-performing school yet. Or, I mean, we have a lot of work to do. I think we're a good school. We started out as a high school. And for the last 14 years, 100% of our graduating seniors have been accepted into college. Now, accepted into college is not the same as going, and going is not the same as finishing. Because when you look at the data in this country, the last time I looked at it, it was something like about 11 or 12% of low-income first-generation college students finish college after 6 years. And at one point, we were at something like 16%. So we were beating the average. But the point I'm trying to make here is our school takes all kids. When we formed our school 21 years ago, I was trying to be really clear that this is going to be a school that will take all children. We started out as a private school. We became a charter school like in about 2011. We started in 2004 as a private school with all of our kids, or just about all of them, accessing the school by virtue of the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. Now, this year, for the first time, we now have a elementary school. It actually was Central City Cyber School that I played a part in creating 25 years ago.
When you were the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools?
It was after I resigned.
Oh, okay.
As superintendent. And I was working at Marquette, and I convened a meeting about 80 people. It's sort of a long story, but one of the things that came out of those meetings was the building of the Central City Cyber School that was led by Dr. Chris Faltz in Park Lawn Housing Project.
Right in the heart of it. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. Right. And back then, Earl, it was a very innovative design because it was based on technology and all of the kids having access to a laptop. We talked about the building itself being a hub so that people in Park Lawn could get online. There was a lot of ideas that we were you know, and Dr. Faust and her staff were doing back, you know, 25 years ago. So in any event, to make a long story short, we acquired Central City Cyber School this year. Last year was the first time that HFCA had combined with Milwaukee Excellence so that we had both a middle school and a high school. So now we have a four-year-old kindergarten through 12th grade. The theory of it is that our kids should be better prepared when they come into our high school than they have been historically. But that's only a theory. That only works if we do a great job with the kids in the elementary school and middle school, right? There's no given that just because you have a K-4 through 12th grade that through some mystical thing, you're going to be okay. That's not true. So we've got to do a great job at all three levels of our school. And that is a work in progress, right? But the thing that I'm proud of is that we are a school that takes all children. You know, we have special ed kids. You know what I mean? You've been in our building. I mean, these kids did not drop in from Mars. These are we're all serving the same kids, right? Whether you're at Vincent or Washington or North or St. Marcus or Hopkins or, you know what I mean? These are all the same kids. And as people who care about kids, we have to focus on the fact that we have a historically bad reading problem, particularly for Black students in the city of Milwaukee, but more generally. And if we don't attack that problem, Earl, if we don't make a significant change in that, it's hard to imagine that the city of Milwaukee is somehow going to be okay. When we have large numbers of our children who live in our city who can't read. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
I urge you to listen to this entire conversation, and you can do that by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Earl's new podcast, What's Going On, and find the episode entitled Reading in Our Schools, What's Going On. You can download it and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around, because after Pat is Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach. And today we welcome Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, as well as UW Extension professor David Drake. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you know me, you know I'm not a go-to sports guy, but I want to be your go-to sports guy here on the show on Mondays, because that's when I play for you the conversations that Don Rosen has with Mike Clemens. Mike is Civic Media's sports reporter. Not just him, also Chad Holmes and Jimmy Cuska. But Mike Clemens goes all over the country to bring back all the great news from the locker room, from the coaches, the players, right to our airwaves for you to keep you updated on all Wisconsin sports. Badgers, Packers, Brewers, and things are getting exciting, people.
All right, our sports guy for Civic Media and WRJN, Mike Clemens, is here. And good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Hey, Don.
Okay, let's start off with the Brewers this morning. What a year for the Brewers.
Yeah, 96 wins, so they have tied the franchise record for most wins in a regular season. And so what's at stake is this. If the Brewers win one game this weekend, they secure home field advantage. So, in other words, they would finish out the season on Sunday afternoon. They'd have all next week off. And then October 4th, in the divisional round, they'd wait to see who would emerge and come to Milwaukee and play. So, you know, that's the best-case scenario. On the other hand, it's a whole week off. And so what, some of their pitchers, you know, can rest up. Like their closer, Trevor McGill, he's got this sore throwing elbow. Maybe that's enough time so he could get back into action. But it's also a long break. You know, teams get a little rusty during the bye. Whatever the case, that's what the scenario is. So either if the Brewers win or if the Phillies lose a game, because the Phillies are just a couple games behind them, Phillies are at home this weekend against the Minnesota Twins. And so that's what's at stake. But in the meantime, hey, there's still a few minutes left, if you like. You know, drive to American Family Field where you can get your free pocket pancake. Did you see this?
Yeah, that the coach, he keeps pocket pancakes in his pocket, which is odd, but he does it, and now everyone's doing it.
Pat Murphy, yeah, the manager, is all words that start with a P. Pat Murphy is in the manager of the team. About 6 weeks ago, he's doing a live interview during the game, and he whips this pancake out of his pocket, and the reporter says, what are you doing there, Pat? Oh, you know, look at pocket pancake, you know, a little carb to pick me up. We're on the seventh inning. These games get to be late. It's a long day.
Especially,
so, you know, this thing takes off. So today, the Brewers are handing out free pocket pancakes in the parking lot of American Family Field. I'm reading from the press release here. The first 3,000 guests would get a T-shirt, a pocket pancake Brewers T-shirt. Murph is supposed to be there and show up. they have a polka band, and they have either convenient drive-through or the pocket pancake tent where folks can there mingle and listen to polka music and eat pancakes. It's pretty funny stuff.
I can't imagine that not having lint on it.
I know.
You take it out of your pocket.
Right, yeah.
Okay, we have to mention, this is kind of a, this was shocking to see. The Guardians were taking on Detroit this past week, and David Fry, the DH for the Guardians, gets hit in the face with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there, you can wear a helmet, this, and like Yelich has got him. I know that Sal Frelick from the Brewers has got him. There's a little guard that can come over and cover sort of your nose and mouth. No, Fry takes it right to the nose, right to the nose. They had to take, rush him to the emergency room to, you know, surgically repair the nose and all that. Yeah, he went, that was tough. But, you know, what's really amazing over there in the American League is how the Guardians, and, you know, I was just in Cleveland last weekend, they have caught up to the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers had, like, the worst collapse in the month of September ever. And so now Cleveland is tied with Detroit going into this weekend for the AL Central, and so we'll be keeping an eye on that on the other league.
Let's talk about football, college football, and the Badgers.
The Badgers, they lost last week into Maryland, 27-10. It was actually even worse than that. So, you know, the Badgers football team, they start off, they win their first two non-conference games, as you would expect. They lost at Alabama. Okay, that understood. But by the time they got to last weekend's game at home to start their Big Ten schedule, and highly favored over the Maryland Terrapins, you know, I mean, first of all, they didn't get 100% show up from the fans at Camp Randall. By the end of the game, half the stadium was empty, and the folks that stayed behind started chanting, "Fire Luke Fickell." And, I mean, it's getting serious, because after 3 years, they don't really seem to have an identity as to who they want to be or, you know, what works for them offensively. Now, some people say it's tough for any coach right now with this NIL and paying players. But the Wisconsin State Journal put out a report that said, no, actually the Badgers, you know, one of the top-ranked teams in terms of how much they've got financially resources to build a roster. So Fickell under the microscope. It's not good, too, when you lose a game like that where you're heavily favored, and the very next day your athletic director, the guy you report to, the guy that hired you, Chris McIntosh, is spotted up in a suite at a Badger volleyball ball game talking to Mike McCarthy, who drove down from Green Bay. You know, love to be a fly on the wall for that. Like, I mean, it looked very much like, did you see our game, Mike? What do we need to do? What do we need to fix it? So, yeah, it's very tense moments. So the Badgers have this week off. Doesn't get any easier.
Okay, my friend. Mike Clemens. Always good to talk to Mike. Love that guy.
If you want to catch that entire conversation live when it happens, you can always tune in to the Don Rosen Show on Fridays on WRJN. What's that? You don't live in an area where you can listen to WRJN? That's simple. Download the free Civic Media app, and you do that by going to the Apple or Google Play Store. It's free. You put it on your device, and then you can listen to any station in the Civic Media network anytime, anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter if you live in France, Germany, Italy, Australia, South America, North America, Canada, the Arctic, or East Brunswick, New Jersey. You can listen to the Civic Media app and listen to our programming anytime, anywhere. It's absolutely free. Come on, man. You didn't think I'd let you get out of here without a pun. Stick around, because after Pat's show is going to be Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach, and we welcome at 9:35 Civic Media's news director, Shali Pittman, for all the news we may have missed over the weekend, as well as UW-Madison professor David Drake to talk about our Ducks and PFAS, so stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. And it's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.